Welcome to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. We're going to get to your Twitter questions later in the show. Keep sending those in. Use that hashtag BucksLive. For now, there's obviously plenty to talk about that has happened recently. We found out yesterday that Mike Evans is suspended for a game. Found out that Jameis is going to be sitting for a couple games. So it feels like there is a...
It was a big news day.
It was a big news day around here for sure. So the game, we'll start there a little bit and what led to those things. But for now, let's just look back at what happened. And 9-3 was not 9-3 very long all of a sudden. It felt, the game felt very, you know, in hand and then very quickly out of control.
Well, it didn't actually feel good at halftime, but at least you still had a shot and you're coming out with the ball to start the second half. But the first 6 minutes of the second half just kind of put everything away, because in the first half, the Buccaneers defense had actually held Drew Brees out of the end zone until the last 2 minutes of the entire first half, and they were hanging in there, but that all fell apart quickly in the second half. And the concerning thing right now for the Buccaneers, obviously, in addition to the fact that it's 2-6, is that it's hard to say what this team does well right now, you know. And 2 weeks ago, we were 2-4 coming off that Buffalo loss, which was very close to being a win, and coming off a couple games where the offense had really started humming. And at least you were thinking, if we can fix a few things on defense, this can all come together. And
exactly.
In the last two games, it's hard to pinpoint very much that the team has done well. And I'll go back to what Coach Cutter said yesterday when he asked what the mood of the team was, and he said, you know, he ended it by saying exactly what you would think a 2-6 team that had really high expectations, what their mood would be. But he used the words disappointed and frustrating, which we already knew, and then he also said confused. And nobody followed up on that, but I think the point there is everybody's confused why it's going wrong on so many levels.
Yeah, because if they knew exactly why it was going wrong, in theory, you'd be able to fix it. And they work countless hours every – I can't even imagine the life of the coaches, you know, during the season, how much time and effort they put into it. So obviously, if they could find a fix, they would. And that seems to be the attitude, that everyone is just dumbfounded as to, especially with preseason expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And you can argue whether or not those were external or internal expectations.
I think
but
it was both.
It seemed like it was both. The team very much feels like they should be in a different position than they are now.
And you hit it on the head there that they're working really hard. They're trying very hard to solve these problems. And I don't think they went to either of these last two games with the idea that what happened was going to happen. I think the confidence was still very high going in both those games. They thought they had a good game plan. They thought they had the right players and coaches to make it happen. And it's just not happening, which is why I think we hear the word confused. And it's something that they're going to work very hard to try to figure out. And I do think that there's a lot of value still to be had in this season. And nobody's going to sit up here and say 2-6 to the playoffs is very likely. It obviously is not. You can just look at the history of the league, and I didn't actually look this up yet, but I doubt that's happened very often. So nobody's going to say it's likely, but they're going to keep fighting. They're going to keep trying. And you know, first of all, just from the team standpoint, the first thing they're going to do is just concern themselves with this game against the Jets and trying to get a win. But from a larger standpoint, I think what we'd like to see is this team getting back to playing entertaining football, you know, and even if this, what happens from here on out, doesn't lead to the playoffs, it can still be good entertainment and good football and something that the fans want to watch. And I do think that the Buccaneers can get back to that. It hasn't been good the last 2 weeks, though, obviously.
Right. And let's go with offensively, because that does really seem to be the area in particular that the expectations to the reality have taken the biggest fall there, so it was, mm-hmm. especially in recent weeks. So
yeah.
Looking at the offense, before we get into the idea of what it'll look like next week, let's look at what it has looked like the last few weeks. And what have you seen as the miscues? Is it what, you know, what does it seem to be that's leading to those?
It does seem like there's pretty persistent miscues, like you said. In New Orleans, a lot of the mistakes were perhaps not handling the crowd noise very well. You know, there was, I think at one point we were in New Orleans territory, had a nice 9-yard run or 9-yard catch, and it was 2nd and 1. And before you know it, it's 3rd and 13. You go from 2nd and 1 in field goal range to 3rd and 13, and part of that was 2 consecutive offensive line procedural penalties, which I know drives everyone crazy, because you can get a holding call because the guy in front of you falls down and you fall over him, or you can get a pass interference call that you can debate, but you can avoid procedural offensive line calls, and that's what drives coaches crazy. And, you know, the turnovers haven't been that bad really in the last few weeks. It's just unable to sustain a drive once we get it across midfield. And I'm sure it's frustrating for everybody. And like I said earlier, what is this team doing well in the last 2 weeks? Prior to that, we weren't running the ball well, but the team was really passing it well and using all of its weapons, and that didn't even happen in New Orleans.
That's what's still pretty crazy to realize, is that Jameis is still setting such incredible yardage records, you know, when we're hearing about him getting to, what was
well,
it, 10,000?
Yeah, he's the eighth guy to get to 10,000 passing yards in his first 40 games. Also, the Buccaneers have more net passing yards at midseason than they've ever had before, on pace to easily break our record in that. So, yes, we're throwing the ball well. This last game wasn't the best example of that, but pretty much every other game, you're picking up yards in the air, and they're throwing the ball well, and maybe not so much the last 2 weeks, but they've been protecting Jameis well, not really running the ball very consistently, but you know, you'd think you have that one strength to hang your hat on, and it's just kind of faded away in the last couple weeks.
It did seem like Peyton Barber was absolutely getting some good runs in there, and I think that's got to be exciting to see, of just, again, like depth at certain positions.
Sure.
That when whatever the defense is doing isn't working for one person, you know, there's certain games, certain guys are going to be able to hit it a little bit more than others, and it just looked like Peyton Barber was really, it was nice to see that spark from him off of the bench.
He looked good, and as Coach said, he was picking up yards after contact. He looks like he's improved as a running back since he got here. I mean, last year, I think it was a bit up and down. He definitely looks good now, and that's one nice, bright spot in that game. I don't want to bury Doug Martin, though, because as Coach Cutter pointed out, he really didn't have a lot of openings. He had carried 8 times for 7 yards, and a lot of times there was nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen games, in fact, the previous 2 games, I thought Doug Martin did a good job of gaining yards after contact. So we're not trying to say we should put Peyton Barber in ahead of Doug Martin, but it was good to see him run the ball well.
And I know that the deep ball is still the ever elusive deep ball at this point.
Yeah, there were some real missed opportunities in that game again.
And that's, to me, one of the areas that I think has probably got to be one of the more, as you said earlier, the confusing idea of things, of when it looked really good in training camp and then not really knowing what has happened and how to go about fixing it. Do you think it is do you try it less? Do you just work on it more? What do we think is the solution?
Yeah,
there?
No, I wouldn't give up on it, especially now when you're almost in that nothing to lose category. I certainly wouldn't give up on it, because what this team wanted to add to its offense in the offseason, to a pretty good offense last year, was more explosive plays, and I don't think that goal goes away. And it's just been so close so many times that it's worth continuing to try. Now, the situation with Jameis makes it a bit of a moot point, because Jameis is the long-term quarterback, and so, you know, if next few weeks, however long Ryan Fitzpatrick is in there, you know, I still want to see us go deep, but hitting on it won't necessarily prove that we've overcome that problem until Jameis is in there and hitting on it.
Which is a bit of a challenge there. And so let's go ahead and get into that a little bit. The idea that we're not going to have Jameis for, it sounds like, at least a couple weeks. We don't really know. Dirk wouldn't specifically say, yes, it will be 2 weeks exactly.
Yeah.
It was sort of a couple weeks. We'll see how it goes.
And I think that's because that's not him trying to obfuscate anything. It's just that's what they know right now, that it's at least a couple weeks, and then we'll assess as we go. We have found out that it's never a good idea for us to speculate on the length of an injury, because we can't know, and I always seem to get it wrong, so I try not to do that anymore.
Well, then you should predict that he's going to be out
weeks.
A really long time and then be wrong,
he'll
be back really quickly.
Exactly. I guess the decision in the long run could be based a bit upon how the season has gone from here. Dirk's always the same way about players and their injuries. If he's cleared to play, he's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's any question mark, you know, maybe you have a little bit more of a cautious approach. It's unfortunate. You know, Jameis hasn't missed a start since he got here, and we all know how badly he wants to be out there on the field. But, you know, quarterbacks get sacked on that shoulder. That type of hit knocks everybody out, you know, and knock Aaron Rodgers out.
Yep, that's very true. All right, we still have 2 more segments coming up. One of those is getting to your Twitter questions, so keep sending those in. Use that hashtag BucksLive. Next segment, we're going to get a little bit more into what a Ryan Fitzpatrick-led offense could look like, especially without Mike Evans this Sunday. So don't go anywhere. Keep asking those questions. Hashtag BucksLive, and we'll be right back.
Hey. know how to shine. Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine. Give a cheer for the Buccaneers. Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine. Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Go Bucks!
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Stand up!
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Go Bucks!
Because we know we're on the top.
We stand up!
Welcome back into Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. We're still going to have another segment after this one where we get to your Twitter questions. So you can keep sending those in. Use that hashtag BucksLive. For now, let's get a little bit into the offense this Sunday. We've talked about some of the issues we've seen the last couple weeks, and now we have the added wrench thrown in of it being we know now Ryan Fitzpatrick, and we also know that Mike Evans will be suspended for one game. So
presumably this one, I suppose most players that get a suspension appeal it, and it's either upheld or not. So I suppose that process is probably going to take place.
But right.
We'll presume now that Mike isn't going to be in there. And he said after – we all know it's because of the hit he put on Marshon Lattimore and his sort of misguided – desire to protect his quarterback, which you can understand that motivation, but as he said afterwards, he should not have done that.
Good motivation, maybe not the best execution.
Yeah. And Coach Cutter said yesterday that he it was unacceptable decisions by both of those guys. So it's unfortunate. And it's unfortunate that it'll, you know, I just would hate to see this reflect poorly on Mike, because we all know what a great guy he is. And we also know that in his second season, he had some issues controlling his temper when things weren't going well, and he really, really did a great job of overcoming that, and that was part of the reason why he had such a fantastic third season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's had all good seasons. They've
right,
all been
yeah.
very good, but he really, last year, put himself on a trajectory to be one of this league's biggest stars in terms of wide receivers, and I don't think this derails that at all, but certainly will make people talk about that issue with him again, and that, you know, it was an unfortunate mistake on his part, but I do think he's a much more mature and in control player, and this was an aberration. So it's unfortunate, but yeah. So now he's potentially or probably out for the Jets game, and I guess what that means is all those people that wanted to see a lot more of Chris Godwin.
It's a very good point. So that was my question: is who you think is going to need to step up? Is it going to your normal, you know, DeSean Jackson, Adam Humphries, and even your tight ends more, or is it actually hoping that whatever other wide receiver takes Mike's place on the field is really targeted?
I mean, there's not a lot of mystery there. It's presumably got to be Chris Godwin, because you have four other receivers, assuming that we don't sign anybody else, and we know what Adam Humphries' role is. He's the slot guy. We know that DeSean Jackson is the Z, so who's your X? It's got to either be Chris Godwin or Bernard Reedy, and Bernard Reedy's more of a slot guy. He'd be the guy you'd be playing if Adam Humphries was out.
Right.
So just – Coach hasn't said any of this yet, but just logically it's going to be Chris Godwin getting the majority of Mike Evans' snaps, and he's a good player. We saw that all throughout the summer, so that'll be an interesting part of watching this. You know, it's hard to replace Mike Evans. There's a reason why a guy is a frontline guy and a guy is waiting behind him. So it's hard to replace what Mike Evans does, but – we could find out a lot about Chris Godwin in this game.
Right, that's very true. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, I think that we've already seen some of him this season, so it's not a complete mystery what it will look like having him out there leading the offense. You know, in Arizona, he almost mounted quite the comeback, and he had to come back again a little bit in New Orleans. It wasn't quite as productive of a performance, but obviously it hadn't been before he was in there either.
Tell you what, he's out there fighting, man. He's running, he's scrambling for 15 yards and taking hits and diving for the first down. And
if anybody wonders if he still has the fire for football.
He still has the fire. Yeah, he seems like a crafty guy. I mean, there was several times in that game in New Orleans where he's getting off these like sidearm quick throws, and you know, he's a veteran. He's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. I think it's kind of a funny situation that his first start for the Buccaneers is against the Jets.
It is a little ironic.
We started 27 games in the last 2 years.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I was talking to Robert McLean about this on the radio show yesterday, that he was all upset he didn't get to play against Carolina that first time because he was hurt. And so it's funny, you always hear players debate about like, oh, it's just another game. But like, if you really ask them, like when they play their former team, he was like, oh, yeah, we totally care.
They
like,
care.
We absolutely care. And we may say we don't, but we care.
Yeah.
And I think that that's interesting. It'll be interesting to see. Like we said, we already saw that Fitzpatrick had the fire. Now you put him out there against his former team.
Well, yeah, and double it up, because the last quarterback who started a game for the Buccaneers other than Jameis Winston was Josh McCown,
who's
now starting for the Jets. So,
just storylines out the window.
It's a weird situation, but it should be fun.
Yeah, that will be very fun. And so what do you think that the offense could potentially look like? No, like instead of it just being Fitzpatrick coming in mid-game,
right,
knowing you have him, knowing you have a whole week to game plan with him as your starting quarterback in mind, do you see it being different, or do you see the same playing book and just he's in charge?
Well, I mean, I could see us making some changes to our approach on offense because things haven't worked lately, but I don't think that's because of the quarterback change. We keep saying it, but he's a veteran who's seen it all at this point. So I think they can trust him to run whatever they want to run. You know, Jameis, just a few things maybe. I think Jameis is fantastic at the deep out type of pass, those sideline passes that are maybe 15 yards downfield, but that's actually like the ball's in the air like 40 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He puts that ball on the money very well, and that may be difficult to duplicate. But there's little things that Fitzpatrick maybe does a little bit better. You know, in the games that Jameis has struggled a little bit, he's been a little bit off target on some of these quick hitting throws. Like, you know, that slant to Mike Evans in the Carolina game where he had to slide down for it. As Coach Cutter put it, both those guys really feel like they should have done better on that play. Mike feels like he should have caught it, but it wasn't an easy catch, and it's something that should be hitting him in stride and giving him a chance to gain extra yards on that play. So maybe you have a bit more of that quick hitting, get the ball in their hands with room to run type of offense. Maybe Fitzpatrick can do that a little bit better. I mean,
right,
we'll see. You know,
yeah, that'll be interesting. And then looking at the defensive side of things as well, I know that going against Drew Brees was quite a tall order for that defensive unit and a much more balanced Saints offense. What did we see from them? We know they obviously didn't contain them as well as they had wanted to, but what we've seen the last few weeks from the defense and what we think that could mean for Sunday going against Josh McCown.
It'll be a different kind of test. They, as expected, most of that offense ran through the Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram tandem of running backs, and they threw it to them just as often as they ran them, and knowing that didn't help, it was still very, very hard to stop. They've really got a good thing going there right now in that Saints offense, and the Jets don't have that same dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
The good news for the Bucs defense is that the cornerbacks are playing better, and that's without Brent Grimes out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose we have, you know, it's Tuesday, so practice hasn't started, so we don't know Brent's status, but if he were to return, you're actually starting to feel a little bit better about that position, which was a worry previously. They obviously played very well in the Carolina game.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have necessarily known the grade on them in the New Orleans game just from watching it, but Coach Cutter said yesterday that they were fairly pleased with the play of the cornerbacks. There were some plays that they didn't do great on, but in a game where not much went well for the Buccaneers, I guess that was something that went pretty well.
Okay.
And so the cornerback play has been better. Vernon Hargraves went back into the slot.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing we didn't know, and the coaches didn't want to say before the game what they were going to do. He went back in the slot. He seems to be playing pretty well there. Ryan Smith's play has improved significantly since that first game against Minnesota. And you know, I think everybody was a little bit down on him after that game, but looking back on it now, that was his first start ever, and basically his first time playing cornerback in an NFL regular season game because he'd been safety the year before. So it made sense that maybe his first time out wasn't great, but he's gotten a lot better. So that's, you know, the depth of cornerback looked like a real problem a month ago, and now it seems like one thing that at least is headed in the right direction.
Okay, well, we still have one more segment coming up that's going to be getting to your Twitter questions. Keep sending those in. Use that hashtag BucksLive, and we'll be right back.
I don't know nobody's gonna let another man walk in their house and take something from them. So take that to heart. This is personal to me.
Yeah. We call this the jungle, bro. Yeah. This our house today, man. Yeah. Let's be great, man. Let's be great. Let's go. Let's get it in, man.
Be legendary today. Yeah. Don't forget, this is our house. Yeah. This is our house. Yeah. Yeah.
Now takes the snap, looks to his right, looks crossing round throw, caught ball, touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hit the backdrop. It's a Levante David quarterback sack, his second of the game.
Let's make it count. We're past the 50, okay?
Big Winston looking. James gonna run to the left of the 10. He throws to the shot. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Attack, technique, and takeaway. Got it.
It's picked off. Intercept to the 30. To the 25, to the 20. Quan Alexander will take it to the house. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Welcome back to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. Time for our final segment, which is getting to your Twitter questions. You can keep sending them in throughout the segment. Use that hashtag BucksLive. And you said you actually had a question for me
before
we started.
I have a question for you. What's with the getup?
The getup. I mean, I was trying to just blend
in.
Like
our good
gear. Like our, you know, handy producer over there, Alex, made a joke about.
Hat.
Yeah, so these are our new Salute to Service gear. So I just imagine the advertisement here for the Salute to Service gear, which is pretty great. So I'm wearing this because right after, and part of why we did do the show so early today, is that I'm heading with a bunch of the guys to MacDill today.
Yeah, that's great.
Which we always do every year. We take the rookies, and then we take a bunch of the vets as well, two separate MacDill trips every year. And just, you know, for Veterans Day coming up this Saturday, the Salute to Service game on Sunday, and we just take them, a bunch of the guys out there, to do autographs and pictures and hang out with everyone down there. And we even get some tours of some of the cool things that they do, which the guys always
enjoy. I'm guessing Clinton
enjoy.
McDonald is involved.
Clinton
in this.
McDonald is definitely involved in this, which I love that he got the nomination for the Salute to Service award. He does so much. In case people don't know, we have an interview up with him right now on Buccaneers.com where he talks about all of his connections to the military, tons of family members involved, and he is so passionate about it. Just gives so much back to them, which is really great and awesome to see how many of the guys are willing to, on their day off, take time out to go spend with the military, as they very much should. So we hope everyone is coming to the game Sunday wearing the Salute to Service gear, coming out to support. There's going to be a lot of really cool things that happen in-game. I think maybe like a flyover, I heard.
Flyover, and I imagine there'll be a recognition of anybody in the stands.
Like, yes.
Actually, they did that in New Orleans this
Yes,
last
they
game.
Did. It was their Salute to Service
game. So everybody, I believe, will probably do that. You know, everybody who's served, stand up.
Yep.
So that's nice.
So
isn't Clinton up
comes.
For an award as well?
Yeah, the Salute to Service, he is nominated for that award that they give out for the entire league, and he is the Buccaneers nomination, so very proud of him as well. So, so that's where we're heading after this, a MacDill trip, which is going to be a lot of fun.
We've had a lot of guys that are really good in that regard. You know, Vincent Jackson
he
for
was
so long
phenomenal.
Was the nominee for that.
Absolutely.
One of the best in the league, and now Clinton is.
Yeah, it's a great situation to have MacDill so close. That makes it
that's
really
true.
A lot easier for us to be able to
There's
meet
There's always
a lot
been
of them.
Just a fantastic relationship between the team and MacDill Air Force Base both ways.
Yep, that's very
really
true.
A lot of support both ways.
All right, so let's go and get into some of those questions. Doug wants to know, if the offensive line really does need to work as one unit, don't you think the sample size is big enough for the coaches to have decided on a left guard?
Well, it's a bit of a moot point at the moment, possibly, because Donovan Smith, if he can't play, you see Kevin Panfil moves out to tackle. But it's a valid point if we're saying Donovan Smith is back there. I think 8 games in is pretty good. Sample size, and at the beginning of the year, we were told that both those guys were playing, and it's a bit of an unusual situation. But they figured at some point it would work itself out, and one of the two would rise to the top, I suppose you could look at it from a positive standpoint and say neither one has stumbled, and so they're both still deserving of playing time. Mm-hmm. And I think the reviews on both those guys have been pretty good, Evan Smith and Kevin Pamphil. So, but again, if that's part of the great thing about having guys like Evan Smith on the team, if Donovan can't play, Evan Smith can step right in at guard, and Kevin Pamphil can move out to tackle as they did in the middle of that game. And it's worth noting that that broke a nice streak for Donovan Smith, unfortunately.
I know, it's so sad.
He had played every snap.
It's incredible.
I mean, he wasn't in Joe Thomas territory yet.
Right, was, yeah, nobody is.
But he wasn't actually, he was sort of chasing Paul Gruber is what he was chasing. Paul Gruber famously started every single snap in his first five seasons, and it kind of looked like Donovan was heading that direction.
Heading that way.
Oh, well.
So sad. That is interesting. I'm glad you brought that up of it being more about they have earned, they've both earned playing time. It's not that they don't trust them.
Right.
It's that they trust both of them and want them both out there.
But I do understand the question.
Right.
Considering what was said early on, I think it's enough of a sample size, or you would thought so.
Right, exactly. All right, so Christian wants to know, what happens with Ryan Griffin now? Is he available now that it might be more important to have him?
Yeah, well, timing-wise, it really worked out nicely. Nobody wanted Jameis to get hurt. But we knew that Ryan Griffin was coming back this week, and it's just perfect timing. So, you know, it's going to cost somebody a spot on the 53-man roster because Jameis is not going on injured reserve. So you're going to have three quarterbacks on the roster because Ryan's going to be activated. This was the week we had to make the decision, and he's apparently fine. He's been passing and throwing fine in practice for 3 weeks now. I know they were really high on him in the preseason. Now, Coach Cutter made a point of saying Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to continue to start.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know. You know, Ryan Griffin, 2 weeks, 1 week, 2 weeks, whatever, how long Jameis Winston's out, he might get his shot. But it worked out pretty perfectly.
Yeah, that's
so
really true.
He's one of the two that you get two options to bring a guy back from injured reserve, which is up one. It used to be just one, which is a nice little tweak they made to the rules, I think. And we still have one more of those that we can use, although I don't know if there's a particular candidate right now. The team sort of showed their commitment to him right after he went on injured reserve. They also re-signed him for next year. So this, you could see this coming, and it just happened to be perfect timing.
I know the coach has said that Fitzpatrick will start, but like you said, the team has sort of made a commitment to Griffin by extending him. So do you almost want to see him get in there at some point, especially because it's been so long now without him getting action?
Yeah, yes. What I want to see is Jameis back as quickly as possible.
Right,
but
yes.
If that doesn't happen, yeah, I mean, then you're just asking me.
Right, yes.
Yes, I would like to see that. I he hasn't thrown a regular season pass for this team yet, and yet by the end of this year we'll have had him around for 3 years. So, I'd like to see him, see what he can do.
Okay. And then we had Bryant ask a question about, this is one we've gotten several times, but basically about why Monken is not calling some of the plays, if he is serving as the offensive coordinator role, and has there been, he's wondering if there's been more discussion of that recently.
Yeah, why is the offensive coordinator but not the play caller?
Right.
Well, it's not an unusual situation. A lot of teams do this if they have an offensive-minded head coach who has called plays before. You still have an offensive coordinator because that guy works very closely with the head coach on developing the game plan all week. And I'm sure he's in the headsets also making suggestions, but the play calling is Dirk's. Now, Dirk was asked, considering the fact that they're going to try, they're willing to try and looking for reasons or ways to pull the team out of what's going on, would he consider giving up play calling? He said, we'll consider everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he didn't say yes. He didn't say no.
Right.
So there's a chance that Todd Monken can get more involved in the play calling simply because they're looking for anything that could help.
Right.
But it's not an unusual situation to have an offensive coordinator who's not actually calling the plays on game day.
Yeah, that's a really good point. All right, Morgan says, what one thing do you think the offense will have to do to be able to get the win against the Jets?
Well, there's probably more than one thing. But let's start with just getting the running game going. It's just the offense has not been balanced in recent weeks or really much all year. And that was the plan going in. I think this team expected to be rushing for, and that's their goal, something like either 120 yards or if you don't get enough carries to get there, to be averaging like 4.5 yards per carry. And we're not hitting those goals. And so you can understand they had an idea how this offense was going to look based upon believing that they were going to run for 120 yards a game, and it's not happening. And so I think that's partially why the offense has been ineffective, particularly in terms of finishing drives, which we've said is the problem, right? So we get to the 30 or the 40 of the other team, and you have mistakes that are made. But if you could get to the 40 and your first down play is a five-yard carry, you have so many more options at that point, and you're not facing third and third and 15 and so on. So, I would start there. There's probably a lot more that can happen, though.
Yep, that's very true. All right, well, that's going to do it for us here on Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you later on this week. Enjoy the rest of your week.